Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, May 18th. This is another impact of the absurd schedule that we've been hit with. The NHL putting the Florida Panthers on the same night as the Miami Heat. So I think right now I'm about to have the tale of two shows. One part of this show is going to be a Victory Wednesday.
Victory!
And then the other tale of this show is going to be a Fire Everybody Wednesday.
You're fired!
So what I need to do this hour is have both of these stories take place just like the games did last night at the same time. I need to discuss greatness and horribleness. Is that even a word? Horribleness? I don't know if there's a word to describe the Florida Panthers' power play right now, but I'm going to find those words. I don't want to start with something negative, though, even though, again, it's a mix of emotions. Like, what do I do here? We have this happen during regular seasons, and it's no big deal. It's one of 82. Or in Major League Baseball, it's one of 162. In football, one of 17 matters a bit more, but we always have this going on. But now that we're in the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
It's a bit different. How do we get excited and then mad at the same time? I can't even space this out between days. I guess this is a good problem to have. But look, the Miami Heat's victory, it was fantastic. The Florida Panthers' defeat, it was awful. And each of these events from last night, they're worthy of their own shows. I could have given each game full justice. I could give each game its own program, no problem. But because of the schedule and because of my schedule and their schedule and your schedule and everybody's schedule, the reaction show, it's got to happen at the same time. Just like the games did last night, that's what's got to happen here this afternoon. It's got to be split. I don't think I'm going to be able to get anything else in this hour besides talking about a victory and talking about a defeat. And I feel strongly about both of these series. I do believe there's major significance in the Miami Heat's win, getting it done against the Celtics in Game 1. And I do believe there's major significance in the Florida Panthers' Game 1 loss. It's one game, but it was truly a big deal. Just like the Miami Heat's one game, that was truly a big deal. Win or lose, both of these games, what I got out of them, it was a big deal. And then one particular comment made after Game 1 by the Florida Panthers and their interim head coach, Andrew Brunette, to me, it may have even been worse than the game. The game was pretty bad, but then hearing about what he had to say after the game didn't make me feel any better. Actually made me feel worse. Like, huh? What's going on here? So today, I'm going to do what a lot of you did last night. I know it's what I did. Just bounce back and forth between the Heat and the Panthers, at least with the audio. I mean, I had both going on at the same time, but you can't really listen to both at the same time. That would be very annoying. So you got audio on the Panthers, then you switch the audio to the Miami Heat. It worked out for us, not in a good way, because we saw what was going on with the Panthers in the third period, and then we looked at the Heat game, and it was an easy decision. Okay, let's get the audio of the Heat and Celtics rather than the Panthers and the Lightning. But what we will do today, again, is what we did last night. Flip back and forth between the Heat and the Panthers, and I'm sure we're going to do the same thing a couple more times, at least a few more times, I would hope. Hopefully, we're talking about two victories and not a victory and a loss, or even worse, two losses. But we are talking about two playoff games at the same time, which is all so strange. And it was all so avoidable, but I'm going to try my best to get over that. Even though I thought I'd be over it already, but here we are. And then yesterday, I brought on Craig Minervini, who was undefeated on this program. Every time he came on during the playoffs, the Panthers would win. They were 4-0, and when he didn't come on, they were 0-2. But when I brought on Minervini yesterday, he slipped up, and I knew it. I'm a superstitious guy, and this may not have had anything to do with a superstition or not, but Minervini, he slipped up. And when I asked him who he thought would win that Panthers game last night, here's the audio. You take a listen, and I just felt it. The minute after he said it, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute there. It just didn't sound right. And maybe that's the reason the Panthers wound up losing. I don't know. I'm just trying to blame it on something other than the power play. But here's the audio from Minervini yesterday, and you tell me what you think.
I'm going to take the Lightning, the Panthers tonight.
Whoa, 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 whoa. It's like yesterday Minervini was hesitant or something, so I don't know. As I said, because it's a split show today where we have a victory Wednesday for the Miami Heat and we have a fire everybody Wednesday for the Florida Panthers, I think that includes Minervini on this show after that slip up, at least for the rest of the second round. Sorry, Minervini.
Yeah!
For the remainder of the second round on this program. And if you want to come back in the third round, I would love to have you, because that means the Florida Panthers will still be playing, hopefully against the New York Rangers. But right now, what a mess. Oh, I can't start with the Panthers. The Heat won. We should be happy. Gosh, this is like mind-boggling, isn't it? Like, what do you do? What do you do in your brain here? You're a Panthers fan, you're a Heat fan. You just forget about one team and just focus on the good. It's a weird situation. Maybe we should call some people up in the New England area. They're used to this kind of stuff. The Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots. A lot of winning there. We're just not used to this, so that's why I don't really know how to handle this. We're all in this together here. I'm not trying to say like, oh, all of you don't know how to handle this, and I do. I don't. This is all real time. I haven't been on the air for something like this before. I've been doing the show for 14 years. I don't think I've ever come on here talking about two number one seeds and one of them winning on a night in game one in the Eastern Conference Finals and then the other losing in game one of the second round. I don't think I've ever done that before. This is all new to me. It's like my first day on the air, even though I've been on for 14 years. This is like day number one. It's kindergarten class. When in reality, it should be, what, ninth grade or something? But we're going to do this. We're going to talk about positives and negatives, and we're all going to get through this together. The Heat win, and here I am saying, we're all going to get through this together. It makes no sense, but hey, that's where we are. All right, I have a lot to get to. I have winning to get to. I have losing to get to. But I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Jimmy Butler is a playoff killer. You could say killer, whatever you want to say. That's what Jimmy Butler is. And Jimmy's the reason why the Miami Heat are up 1-0 in this series. That wasn't a good game from Jimmy Butler. That wasn't a great game from Jimmy Butler. That was an epic game from Jimmy last night. You can even go as far as saying it was a legendary game. The Miami Heat did not have it in the first half. I'm looking at the TV. A lot of you probably looked at the TV too because you didn't want to pick one place, so you wanted to see both games. And you see how the Heat came out, and you're like, oh boy, the Heat look rusty. They just don't look like themselves. They just don't look like they have it. This is going to get ugly. And then things changed, didn't they? At the beginning, Boston was all over them defensively. Jason Tatum was playing great. The Celtics having Robert Williams back in the post was a big deal. Despite being without Al Horford and Marcus Smart, both of them are big deals. Despite that, Boston was ready to steal game one. But the amazing part about Jimmy Butler, besides the 40-plus points and filling up the entire stat sheet, it's that when Jimmy says he doesn't care about 40-point games, he really means it. And to me, that's amazing. When you watch Jimmy Butler play, he's just a super, super competitive dude, and he is so physical. And what Jimmy did in that third quarter, imposing his will on that basketball game, that was the takeover of the will that Jimmy Butler has inside of him. Jimmy Butler snatched Boston's win from him. And he did it by wanting it more. And when you want something more, that translates into bully ball in the post. That's what I saw. It translated into pick sixes on defense. It translated into finding his teammates. And that is what a superstar player does when they are outplaying the other team. And come playoff time, Jimmy Butler is a superstar. There wasn't a dang thing Boston could do about it. I wonder, and we're going to find out, how different Boston will be when they can throw Marcus Smart at Jimmy. Because the Miami Heat have an expression, and you probably hear Eric Spoelstra use it a lot about defense. He says, make them feel you. Boston at no point in the game made Jimmy Butler feel them. It was the other way around. Marcus Smart, he was named Defensive Player of the Year, even though Bam is the one who should have got that award. But it was Marcus Smart. So I would imagine if and when Marcus Smart does come back, he's going to change the dynamic of the Celtics defense. Last night, I thought Boston's depth and fatigue, it did show. At the beginning, it didn't, but in the end, it did because they looked tired. I think the Celtics used everyone that they trusted, and we know that Boston does not have the depth that Miami has. So when they lost 40% of their starters a few hours before the game, that's a big advantage which swung Miami's way. And then you had a couple of role players for the Heat who had big games. Tyler Hero, he was big time in the first half. It felt like Boston was about to blow the Miami Heat out, which would have been shocking considering not only, all right, the Miami Heat were really good during the regular season and so far in the playoffs, but the news the Celtics got right before the game, it's like, come on, how is this going to happen? And they just played game 7 on Sunday. The Heat had been chilling since Friday, but early on it looked like the Celtics were going to really put it to Miami. But then Tyler Hero came into the game, and he saved the Miami Heat offensively. He brought really good energy with him. He hit some floaters. Tyler Hero, he provided a much-needed spark. Max Strus didn't have it, at least early on. Tyler Hero came in the game, and he did what he had to do. He did what he's supposed to do, sixth man of the year. And then another role player for the Heat, Gabe Vincent. I thought he was gigantic. Kyle Lowry out. And Kyle Lowry is the guy the Miami Heat went and got for this series. Like, this series specifically. Kyle Lowry was supposed to be that dude with his defense and with his Kyle chaos on offense. He was supposed to be the guy to put the Miami Heat over the hump. To take them up a level. And he's been hobbled the whole playoff so far. So in steps Gabe Vincent, role player, and we have not seen a drop-off. Not on offense, not on defense, and not with leadership. He's been getting the ball where it belongs, and Gabe also hit some big shots in the second half, particularly one of his threes. So that was a really big performance from a guy who not many people have heard of nationally, but I think they're going to learn about him now. And then you look at the Celtics side of the basketball offensively. If you go back and watch Jason Tatum from the bubble and then you watch him now, he's definitely better. I thought Miami made him play a little sloppier in the second half and he wound up making costly mistakes. But there was enough to see there last night where you could tell there's going to be a game or two in this series where Jason Tatum gets into that zone where he can score 40 or more and he's going to be able to elevate his team. Last night it didn't happen, which was great for the Heat. But I saw the potential there, and you probably did as well. All of the things that Tatum can do, they were on display. I see that game, and I see both teams here looking very similar in the way they work. The Celtics remind me a lot of the Miami Heat. The level of effort they put out on D, the way they go for those loose balls, and for all of the talk about Heat culture, Boston, you got to give it to them. They do play the same way. That's why it makes sense to me here that you have one playing two. The Heat are one, the Celtics are two, and that's because they both defend. It's because of the collection of guys that they have on their roster, and they're able to elevate each other. The only thing Boston doesn't have similar is Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's just so dang good in the playoffs. If I haven't mentioned in the first 15 minutes enough about Jimmy Butler's performance, I'm happy to do it a little bit more because it was absolutely stellar. What a way to start a series. Jimmy became the fifth player ever to have 40-point games in the first three rounds of the playoffs. Not bad, huh? Especially for a guy who doesn't like to score much. He doesn't care about how many shots he takes. And he really took over last night's game with his anticipation on defense more than anything. Jimmy Butler, I don't know if I should say has turned into or is turning in to a playoff legend. I don't know anyone in South Florida that would think, oh, well, slow down there a little bit. Why? Just look at Jimmy's performances. So as a Miami Heat fan, now that the team is up 1-0, and this is only for you guys, the fans, because I know the team looks at it just game by game. Like, okay, we won game one. What are we doing here in game two tomorrow night? But as a fan, you don't look at it game by game, unless you're a former coach or player or something. Now that the Miami Heat are up 1-0, from what you saw last night, where do you see this series going? Can you make a determination after one game last night? And look, the Celtics had out a couple of key players, very key players in Horford and Smart. Is there something you can determine? Are you feeling a lot more confident this afternoon because of the 1-0 lead? Do you feel domination coming from the Miami Heat? Or do you think, well, the Heat just won one, but Boston is still the better team here? I want to gauge where your mind is, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking as well, and I'll do that in just a minute. First, though, let me tell you what I'm going to do this coming Saturday, just a few days away. I'm headed to Gulfstream Park, the Preakness Stakes. It's happening in Baltimore, but you could watch and wager on it at Gulfstream Park. Plus, you've got exciting live racing right in front of you because Gulfstream Park's Royal Palm Meet is happening right now with live racing every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When I go to Gulfstream Park this Saturday, I'm going to have some friends with me. I'm going to have a table at 10 Palms, Gulfstream Park's trackside restaurant, a nice meal, wager on the action, check out everything on the televisions as well. It's going to be a fun time, and you can have that same fun time by making a reservation for Gulfstream Park's trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. The easiest way to go about it, visit GulfstreamPark.com and the website. They have all the details. Be out there this Saturday or any live race day during this Royal Palm Meet, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's when live racing happens at Gulfstream Park. Today is a good day to celebrate Jimmy Butler. And I cannot say enough how many amazing things Jimmy did last night, what he's done so far this playoff season for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler come playoff time, there's zero question about it. He is a superstar. But you knew there was a but, right?
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Well, I didn't say it was a big but. I don't look at it as a big but. But when Marcus Smart does come back, I think a lot of that is going to change. Because Marcus Smart coming back, it's going to change the Celtics' rotation. It's going to increase their defense. It's going to up their physical game. Marcus Smart coming back is going to make this series more interesting. So while I'm delighted for the Miami Heat, and I am delighted for Heat fans that they're up 1-0 right now, I saw a lot from Boston that does make me believe this series could go 6 or 7 games. I saw a lot out there last night that told me this is going to be a super competitive series. I know some people are tweeting this afternoon and earlier this morning, oh, we're looking at a sweep now. It's funny how we look at one game, the first game of a series, and just feel like it determines the rest. Some of us are doing that with the Miami Heat, and some of us are doing this with the Florida Panthers, and I'll raise my hand because I'm one of those doing that right now that think the Florida Panthers are in a world of trouble. And the Miami Heat, I'm not looking at it as like, okay, yeah, what I saw last night means the Miami Heat are going to breeze through this series. No, I didn't see that. So there's different ways to look at this, obviously, but I do feel like most likely the Heat Celtics will go 6 or 7. My mind can change tomorrow night if the Heat go up 2-0 in this series, because then I start to believe, okay, well, they go to Boston, they can win a game in Boston, and then you're coming home for game 5 and you got a 3-1 lead. Plus, let's see what's going on here with the Celtics and a possible COVID situation. One of their coaches now is out with a non-COVID illness. We know Horford was out because of the protocols. So there's a lot going on. A lot can change. But I'm very happy that the Miami Heat won that basketball game last night. That third quarter had a huge part to do with it. I mean, that really was the game. It was just such a special quarter for Miami. I go back to the regular season, and I think about how many times people complained about the third quarter and all the issues that the Miami Heat have had in it. 39-14, that was the third quarter score yesterday. And in the playoffs so far, the Miami Heat have been the best team in the NBA coming out of the half. That's important. That tells you the Heat are able to either put teams away or they could change the tone. And they had, as a defense, they had 12 blocks. I don't know what it is about playing the Boston Celtics for Miami. Maybe it's just something about that Celtic green when they see it. It gets Bam to block everything that's in front of him. Jimmy, he had a big block on Tatum in the corner. The guys were doing what Bam calls guarding your yard, and they did it very well in that game, and it made a big difference. And that's all based on effort and pride. But watching Boston play last night, I would expect them to respond to that. Like, they've got some of that in that too, going back to the culture. They're a very similar team to the Miami Heat. PJ Tucker, big-time role player for Miami. He got hurt in the first half, but just inspiration and leadership. PJ Tucker is like Jimmy Butler in that sense. He's a veteran. He's about rings. Yes, PJ can hit a floater in the lane, and he can knock down a corner three with the best of them, but it's every effort play. It's every defensive assignment. PJ Tucker is such a Heat culture guy. He's fit from the second he landed in Miami. And I do feel like PJ has helped elevate the Miami Heat to where they are. There's so many role players on this Heat team. They're so deep. It's just, it's an incredible roster. That Riley, Spo, Arison, Andy Ellisberg, everyone in that Miami Heat organization and front office, they've they've done everything they possibly could to put this together, and it's working out very well. I mean, they're three wins away from going to yet another NBA Finals. Regardless of what you read or watch or listen to from the national media, I only see it on Twitter. I don't watch any of that national media stuff. I just don't care to look at it or hear any of it. Or again, only on Twitter do I see like clips and stuff. But I know during the season, the national media didn't want to cover the Heat because there's not like some big drama going on in Miami. The Heat aren't the Lake Show. They're not a mess. They're not the Knicks. They're not the Nets, who are a major disappointment. There's no Ben Simmons drama with Miami. There's no James Harden drama with Miami. The only time that I saw via Twitter that the national media expressed any interest in the Miami Heat prior to right now, it was that argument that they had in the huddle in the timeout. That one argument. And then it was, oh, is this team a mess? But look, it's exactly what I told you when that argument happened. I didn't look at it as a negative. I looked at it as this team was just frustrated with losing. They're letting it out right there, and this is getting them closer together. They have a great culture. They have a veteran team. And they are serious about winning, and they are serious about playing defense. They're not a team that cares about credit. They care about stops and assists way more than individual glory. They have a playoff superstar who prefers not to get the lion's share of shots. So with the Miami Heat having that, none of what I just said fits the turn the NBA into a soap opera drama narrative. So quickly, what this will turn to, in my opinion, if the Miami Heat were to win tomorrow and take a 2-0 lead, I think the national media probably turns this into, oh, there's drama in Boston. It's not about, oh, the Miami Heat are good. There's drama in Boston. Just watch and wait. Until the Miami Heat get those last 7 wins, I'm sure the national media will find every reason to talk about anything other than them. At least other than how dang good they are and how well coached the Miami Heat are. It'll be about some sort of drama with the other team, even if there really is none. Maybe you have drama in your life with your significant other. That's why you need to head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club. Even if you don't have drama, you walk into Dean's Gold, you're going to be surrounded by beautiful girls, 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 girls. And the reason Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club is because they have gorgeous women who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You're going to have such a great time. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club. They are open every single day, 7 days a week, 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. Dean's Gold is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Go have yourself a great Wednesday night. We got no playoff games in South Florida going on this evening. Go have yourself a great night off and a fantastic time. Surround yourself with beautiful women from all around the world, and you could do that by heading on over to the Ultimate Gentleman's Club, Dean's Gold. I have to go from being happy about a victory for the Miami Heat to being upset, sad. Many words can describe how I feel about the Florida Panthers game yesterday. I think my voice says it all. It feels like the air was let out of a balloon in Sunrise. This comes after the highest high in the last 26 years. Maybe not for some of you. I mean, maybe some of you have been getting really high sometime in the past 26 years. But I'm talking about myself. I don't do any of that. I was on the highest high in the last 26 years. Just a few days ago, the Panthers finally win a playoff series. They come out, game one, second round, number one seed in the East, number one overall with the President's Trophy, and they lose 4-1 to Tampa Bay. Yes, the Lightning are back-to-back defending Stanley Cup champions, but the Panthers this year are the best team in the entire league. The Lightning come into the Panthers building. They fall behind 1-0, and then they dismantle Florida. The main problem here is the power play. This doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. The Panthers have not scored on the power play in the playoffs so far. They went up against an 8 seed, the Washington Capitals. They won in 6 games without scoring on the power play. Maybe you get away with that. I guess you do get away with it because they did against an 8 seed. But against the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, that ain't going to fly. If the Florida Panthers don't get their power play together, like, you know, score at least one goal, they're not going to win this series. They've got no chance in this series. It's not that complicated to figure out. Maybe the Panthers are way overthinking this now. It's in their head. You have more guys on the ice. You throw the puck at the net. You throw it at the net a lot. You get rebounds. You create traffic. You continue to shoot. Instead, the Panthers are waiting. They're trying to be too cute. They're overthinking everything. They're making one or two passes too many. And by the time they figure out what they want to do, the other guy is skating out of the penalty box. Do you know how this is almost impossible? It's not impossible because the Panthers are showing you why it's not impossible. But it's almost impossible to be this bad on the power play. You've got professional hockey players on the ice. These are the best in the world. You have 5 skaters going up against 4. That is a big advantage. And they haven't been able to turn that into one goal. I tweeted out earlier this morning on my Twitter feed, at Andy Slater. The Panthers, in the playoffs so far, they've had 2 periods worth of a power play. 40 minutes and 22 seconds. That is 2 periods worth of a power play, and they have 0 goals to show for it. I wanted to ask interim head coach Andrew Brunette this morning on Zoom, but the Zoom got cut off. The Panthers had technical difficulties. It was almost like the power play was running the Zoom. But I wanted to ask him if the power play 5-on-4 needs to be just as desperate now as the Panthers were with an extra attacker like they had in DC when they were 6-on-5 because they pulled the goaltender. Remember when they pulled the goalie, the Panthers had 6 skaters, the Caps had 5, and the Panthers wound up scoring. Do they need to be as desperate? But I couldn't ask him that question, and I hope I don't have to ask him that question after tomorrow night because I want the Panthers to score on the power play. And then another problem that I saw last night, and I talked about this yesterday before the game, this isn't second guessing, this is first guessing. The Panthers have to keep Tampa off the power play, and guess what? They didn't. Because Tampa is really good at forcing the issue, being physical, and drawing penalties. And they did it like 1.5 minutes into the contest. So they give themselves a lot of chances on the power play, Tampa does, where they can score. And they did 3 times. The Panthers need to cut back on those opportunities that they're giving Tampa. And then came a comment, like if the game wasn't bad enough. Interim head coach Andrew Brunette says after the game yesterday, and this made me cringe. He says he liked the way the Panthers played. I understand he's trying to stay upbeat, and he's not trying to say the season's over after 1 loss. But you liked the way the Panthers played. And then to say it's the small details that the Lightning get right and they're the champs and the Panthers are learning. Here's a little spoiler alert. The small details that you're talking about, that's coaching. That's the ability to do the tiny things right. That separates the good from the great. That's what a coach teaches you. If I told you that one team paid attention to the small winning details and the other team didn't, what would you tell me about the two teams' coaches? Exactly. You would say one coach knows what he's doing and the other, well, not quite as much. At no point during the season did Andrew Brunette look as interim as he did last night. Could you imagine Coach Q saying, "I like the way we played"? After being taken down in game one, you're the number one seed and you lose to your rivals. And I believe Brunette said it twice. Like, what are you talking about here? And then I see, and this really gets to me. I told you I was going to be excited for the first half of the hour, and now I'm frustrated. That's what we got when we got two games on one night, and I got to react to both. But this morning, I told you I was on the Zoom, and then I'm seeing all these tweets come out, and I'm seeing stories and tweets from local writers and reporters and personalities saying that Andrew Brunette deserves to have that interim title taken off. He had an incredible regular season. A lot of people like the way he coaches. It's time to take that interim title off. You're saying this now after a game one loss? After the team has not scored on the power play in 21 chances in seven games in the playoffs so far? Are you kidding me? Now we're going to like baby him up? And like, what's going on here? I think it's nuts to be writing this stuff right now. It's completely crazy. It's just like, you know what? The things I want to say, I can't even say, because then I'll start getting calls from management and I'm not allowed to say, I'm not going to say things. There's a lot that I want to say about what I saw last night. I just hope it changes in game two. And the crowd, I know anyone that was there at the FLA Live Arena, they wanted to be full of energy, and I don't think that they were. From seeing it on television and from talking to people who were there, I guess maybe because there's an element of nerves of facing that big bad wolf and the whole opposite the Heat game thing, but I don't think there was so much energy in that building last night. And there were plenty of Tampa fans there as well. Just the whole situation stunk. It was great for the Heat. It was horrible last night for the Florida Panthers. However, does my frustration and what all of you saw last night on the ice in Sunrise, does it mean that this series is over?
Over? Did you say over?
I'm going to tell you what I think about the rest of the series, and I'll do that in just a minute. First, though, I want to tell you about the Costa Rica Dental Team and what I think about them. They are fantastic. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times. I know you save 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. Every time I've been to the Costa Rica Dental Team, I meet people in the office who are from South Florida, from all over the United States of America, and they are thrilled. They saved a fortune, and their mouth and teeth look great. Maybe you need some crowns, or even one crown, some veneers. You're going to save a fortune at the Costa Rica Dental Team, and you can have yourself a dream vacation at the same time. Check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. I've had to postpone a lot of appearances this week, such as Luke yesterday, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol this week. This is a time that we do not get that often, if ever, in South Florida. Hopefully it's the beginning of a trend, but two teams, both number one seeds in the playoffs at the same exact time, I mean, come on. And there's a lot to discuss from last night. So continuing that Panthers conversation, yes, I'm frustrated. The Panthers are frustrated. All their fans are frustrated. It's one game, and the series is not over by a long shot. The Panthers absolutely could pick off one of the games in Tampa as well. They could win this game tomorrow night. This can be a 2-2 series. This series is not over. It's been one game. We're mad. We've had enough of it. It doesn't look good. But come on, it's one game. Now, they can't fall behind 2-0 at home. So I'm not saying this is a must win because that's stupid. But tomorrow's game, it goes from big to monstrous. And all year, the Panthers have proven that they can overcome adversity. Remember, they dropped the first game to the Capitals last round, and they won in 6. Usually, it comes in a game, the Panthers overcoming that adversity from a few bad goals or a few bad moments. They get their stuff together, you know, the comeback cats. But they did it in the first round series. They could absolutely do it here in the second round. I know the Tampa Bay Lightning are extremely talented. There's a reason I wanted the Leafs to beat the Lightning in Game 7. I'd rather have had the Panthers face Toronto, but that doesn't mean the Panthers cannot beat Tampa Bay. They are very experienced. They know how to win, and it was evident last night. But the Florida Panthers can definitely flip that around. They just need more. They need something on the power play. They also need more from their stars. It's not just the power play. Jonathan Huberdeau, he was a legit Hart Trophy candidate the entire year. Where has he been? Yeah, he's got some points, but come on, he hasn't been what he was during the regular season. He's too good to not make an impact on the series. Same thing with Barkov, another star who just hasn't been himself in the playoffs yet. Maybe this is the early stages of a long playoff run. Or maybe this is the Panthers on their way out. I know we're going to learn a lot tomorrow, though. How quickly can the Panthers flush that loss away? How can they learn from it? As Brunette said and Barkov said, we're going to learn from it. The most important question, what the heck are they going to do on the power play? Because after a while, it starts to get mental. You got to get that breakthrough. You got to get the quick one. Light the frickin' lamp when you're 5-on-4. Take a deep breath, like I just did there, and start playing like the same team they've been the entire season. That's all the time I have for this Wednesday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.